right. Well, why don't you take your Bibles, and we're going somewhere new tonight. We're done with the giant of, Despair. Thank you. Despair. I've been working on several different ones, and it's funny how one word comes to your mind and it takes over everything. But the giant of despair is what we were looking at. And we are now going to begin looking at the giant of apathy, all right? The giant of apathy. And this giant, outside of despair, even fear right now is a big giant that people are really truly facing and can't seem to win the victory over. Apathy is probably one of the most prevalent giants in the church. And may I say, I will agree, it's even here. Apathy is something that every work of God, every church that I know of in one form or another fights this giant. Apathy is oftentimes completely missed because it's not an action that you see as much as it's the absence of an action. It's not that you can really notice it because, well, you know, those two people in the church were out in the parking lot fighting again. Well, that's noticeable. Well, so-and-so's talking about so-and-so again. Oh, there's stuff going around again. Oh, they're attacking each other on Facebook again. You know, it's none of that kind of stuff. It's nothing really that you see outwardly as far as a true action that would give you a notice. Oh, there's a problem right there. Apathy is the complete absence of action. And if you're not watching, if you're not looking, if the church is not paying attention, we will completely overlook the fact that this giant is sweeping throughout God's people and the heart and lives of God's people, and even the preachers, and the soul winners, the singers. It doesn't matter. Every aspect of serving the Lord, apathy just tends to get a little bit of a stronghold, and it slowly but surely grows. Until by the time you figure out that apathy has gotten a hold of you, it is kind of like despair. It's slow, but once apathy has gotten a hold of you, you realize it, but it's really almost too late. If you've really, it's so prevalent, it's so visible at the point that it's happening everywhere. It is so visible because of the results of apathy that now it's almost gone so far it's hard to fight. Matter of fact, there are times when apathy can be so overwhelming in a church that a church that used to be, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself, it's okay, I repeat myself all the time anyway, so what does it matter? But there are times where I've witnessed and I've heard preachers talk about, I've heard different ones tell the story of churches where it was thriving. I'm talking about a soul-winning church, thriving church, bus ministries. There was activity all the time. There was something happening 24/7. People were involved all the time. I mean, folks just literally nearly wore themselves out serving the Lord, not in a bad sense, but just because they were hungry and they wanted to be involved. They could not wait to reach the next person. Hey, revivals happened and they packed the house. Why? Because they wanted to hear some more preaching. They could not wait. They were excited about something fresh, something new, something that would be targeting that the Lord could help them on it. But they just could not wait to get there. And now this church that thrived, that was growing, that visitors came to and didn't want to leave because, I mean, it was exciting. Now those churches have buildings of a 1,500-seat auditorium that run 20. And even when they try to have something big, nobody does anything. Nobody wants to do anything. Matter of fact, some stories where it's not quite that drastic, but what you're seeing happen is, where it used to be, we're having a revival service. Yes, we're having another. It's about time. It's already been, you know, almost 4 weeks since we did something like that. Let's do another one. That was the attitude. And then years down the road, as time has gone on and things did not get dealt with right away and apathy crept in, now it's been 6 months and the preacher says, we're going to have a revival service. It's going to make us come to church multiple days in a row. I mean, just the attitude changes. They don't want to come. They don't want to be there. They used to hunger for it. Now it sickens them to think about having to give extra time. That's the result of apathy. You say, now, preacher, why are you saying all that? Are you trying to say something around it? No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not trying to hint to anything. What I am trying to get us to understand is, apathy exists in this church. I could point out things that I know, even in my life, that I know where apathy is trying to get a foothold. And if we're not careful, if apathy, this giant, gets a hold of us, we'll get to the point where we could just care less. Why be bothered about that? We're seeing it across our nation. What's the big deal? Why can't I just watch church from home? I know it's kind of the pet peeve right now. It's the pet thing to attack. But that is what's happening. That's why those who can, not those who can't, but those who can be the church, be with the church, be involved in the ministries of still trying to reach the lost. There are some right now still saying, we can't go tell anybody about the gospel. You can't get that close to people. You got to stay away from them. There are still people trying to say, we can't talk to other people. We can't go witnessing. You can't go door knocking. You can't do that stuff yet. What's the big deal? It can wait. We'll get back to it one day. Apathy. Apathy. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, let me read this. And like I said, I'm giving you the introduction. I'm going to give you a little bit into point number one, but we won't go into all of it. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse number 1, it says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." By the way, here's something that is not oftentimes paid attention to. We say, well, the Lord's coming back like a thief in the night. You never know when it's going to happen. It could happen now. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to... Now watch. We often say, and we use this, that the Lord's... In verse number 2, "For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." We talk about it as though we're supposed to be as surprised as everybody else. But did you read what I was reading a minute ago? It comes down to pointing to God's people. Verse number 4, "But," hey, they're all going to be surprised. They're all going to be taken by surprise. They're not going to escape. The world, the lost, the ones who tried to willingly be ignorant of truth, they're going to be surprised. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore," now watch, here's the key. "Therefore," verse number 6, "let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." That doesn't mean you're not supposed to go to bed and get some rest. I love rest. I love sleeping, okay? I love actually going, don't always get it, but I love being able to go to bed and wake up the next morning feeling like I got rested and I'm ready to attack the day. It's been a long time since I've actually felt that. But It does happen, and it's good. We need rest, but it's not talking about regular sleep. It's talking about closing our eyes and falling asleep to what's going on around us and the need around us and the problem around us and how much more important it is now that we be active, that we be alert, that we be ready, that we be doing what we can. We're not of the night. We're not supposed to just be slumbering off and just, oh, how relaxing. Yes, okay, we can stop all this extra stuff. Let's just quit Sunday school. We don't need Sunday school. Let's just have church one service on Sundays. That's so much more relaxing. Oh, man. No headaches, no extra stuff. We just come, we do it. Let's just stop the choir. You know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. You got to show up. You got to practice. And then you got to get up in front of everybody and sing on a Sunday morning when your voice sounds like a bullfrog. I mean, let's just put that aside for now. And we might get back to it, but it's not like it's a big deal anyways. Let's just do what's a little bit more comfortable because we're tired. Let's just relax a little bit. It's not a big deal. That's what the Bible is saying is not what God's people should have the mentality of. We're not people of the night. We're people of the light. We're not the ones that should be overtaken by darkness and surprise and the day of the Lord be as a thief in the night in our life. No, we're supposed to be ready, watching, eager, expecting, and if we're expecting his return to be any day, we won't be ho-humming around with our Christian life and ho-humming around with our activity for the Lord. We're going to be burning as a flaming fire doing something because the time is short, the night has come, and eventually there'll be no more time to do anything for God. We'll have exhausted all time, and he will be here, and there's no more chance to serve him. We ought to live every single moment. This is much preaching at this preacher as anything else. We ought to live every single moment as though it's the last opportunity we have to do the last thing we can for Christ in the last moment he gives me. But oftentimes we're more asleep in life spiritually than we are awake, watching, and sober. Verse number 7 says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Been dealing with the armor of God. That's going right back to it. Why? Because we're in a war. We're in a battle. At any given moment, the enemy's attacking, but it also, at any given moment, might be the last charge that we have an opportunity to be a part of before this thing is over. It's not time for the church to sit back and say, we still got plenty of time. The Lord hadn't come. How many preachers over the years and years and years have been saying, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back. We're in the end days, we're in the last times. He's coming back sooner now than he was before. Preacher been saying that for years. We got plenty of time, preacher. He didn't come back in the 80s, didn't come back in the 90s, didn't come back in the early 2000s. We still got time. Don't get in such a hurry, preacher. We got time. We'll get there. We don't have time. We're not going to just be guaranteed to get there. We can't just sit back and hope that the Lord's not going to return and make sure he gives us all the time we want to do the work. He's given us the opportunity now, and apathy is what keeps God's people from serving him and getting the job done. Now, let me read kind of an illustration for you very quickly. I'll give you this to you first, okay? Point number one dealing with apathy is, point number one is the name of it. What is it called? Well, we know it's called apathy, but by definition, here's what it is. Lack of passion. There's also a longer laid out definition. Basically, it says this: want of feeling. In other words, lacking thereof, and so in need of feeling. Privation of passion, emotion, or excitement. Dispassion, applied either to the body or the mind. As applied to the mind, it is a calmness, indolence. It is a state of indifference, incapable of being ruffled or roused to active interest or exertion by pleasure, pain, or passion. In other words, no feeling at all. Who cares? Why worry about it? That feeling doesn't happen. That lack of passion, that lack of emotion, that lack of desire doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly. But once it takes hold, once this giant gets a hold of a life and begins to stomp out, what he's stomping out is life itself. He's stomping out the life that a person should be living, and they're pretty much just a spiritual vegetable. They do nothing. They feel nothing. They get excited about nothing. The Lord works on hearts. So somebody gets saved. Oh, that's wonderful. That's good. No more tears. No more excitement. No more brokenhearted over the things of God or spiritual needs. Just indifferent. Well, good for them. Synonyms for it is insensibility, unfeelingness, indifference, unconcern, sluggishness. And I'm not attacking any particular place, but we could go through, it has sickened me to see how many pastors, how many, and I ain't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, I will be the first one to say that. But how many pastors have yet to even consider going back to having church with their people because they're happy staying at home in their flip-flops and their night clothes, putting a little shirt and tie on so nobody knows. We see those commercials that people make fun of, right? You realize there are people doing that. That's why it's actually in the commercials, because it's happening. And there are preachers doing that. They get out of bed real quick. They fix their hair, put a shirt on, throw a little tie up there, and they sit behind their table and do church with their people and been doing it for a year now and have no plans of going back to the house of God. And they do one service a week. Apathy. Indifference. Coldness to the things of God and what is really needed in this last day and the last push of time that we have. Let me give you this, and I'm going to stop right here. Here is a very good, this really happened, this really actually took place, a good understanding of just how bad apathy can become. The header is "Man Burns as Onlookers Record." A 53-year-old businessman was charred to death after getting trapped inside his car, which had caught fire on Wednesday. This is out of a news article. The horrific incident, which took place in Rajasthan, India, was witnessed by passersby who began to record the incident on their mobile phones instead of trying to rescue him. The man's body was completely charred in the incident, rendering it unidentifiable. He was later identified as, let's see if I can do this, Premchand Jain, on the basis of the car's number plate. According to eyewitnesses, Jain was on his way to his factory on Wednesday at 10 a.m. when his car broke down on the highway. He managed to start the car and drove it barely a few hundred meters when smoke started filling the vehicle. Jain then tried desperately to get out, but failed to do so because of the car's central locking system. The car then burst into flames, and he was burnt to death in the middle of the road. Assistant fire officer at KMC, Devendra Gautam, said a call was received around 10:25 a.m. and two fire trucks, were dispatched to the spot. But by the time they reached the scene of the fire, Jan's body was reduced to a skeleton. Even more tragically, no one tried to help Jain out of the car, as those who witnessed the incident were busy recording it on their phones. Gautam added that had the people just attempted to rescue the man by breaking his glass down in the windows, he could have been saved and possibly from all harm. That is the epitome of a picture of apathy. So focused on the pleasures and what I, oh, we got to, oh my goodness, oh, that's horrible, oh my, wow, oh, that's got to hurt. Well, you know, so focused on what doesn't matter that they couldn't even see what did matter. A man died right in front of their eyes. And by the way, if you've ever been around the smell of burning flesh, it reeks. They were right there to see, smell, feel the heat and everything, and all they were worried about is getting a good video clip of the whole thing. Can I tell you, that's the church today if we're not careful. We know, we see it. You can sense what's happening. You can feel the falling apart of our nation. You see all this. You see people just, I mean, by the hordes just going towards sin and wickedness and forget God, forget everything that Bible has to stand for. You just see the literal running towards wickedness, and you see how far it's going. And if we're not careful, we're more worried about making sure that I've got the gadgets and the toys and the games and the fun and the vacations and all the stuff and seeing that I can match up with the next door neighbors. I've got what they've got too. I mean, they're not Christians and they don't ever go to church. But I want to make sure that I have all the stuff they've got. And I'm so focused on that and making sure that I can match up with them, I forget they might be on their way to hell. I like beautiful buildings. I like it even better when the leaks stop. I am thrilled about what we're looking at doing over there. I cannot wait until we get that property done and God starts using it to be a blessing. And there are so many other things that we can and will need to do as the future happens and as the Lord doesn't come back and we continue to grow and we want to do more for God. It's going to take more work to get more done. And I'm excited about it. And I can't wait to do it. Well, actually, I can wait because I hate building programs. But I'm looking forward to, growing pains are a real pain. But without them, you go nowhere. We're at that point right now. We're on that edge of growing pains. And there's some decisions. We got to start moving some things forward. And it's not the most comfortable thing to make that step forward. But, hey, it's going to launch us in the opportunity for God to do even more. But if we get focused here and we make sure that everything's perfect and beautiful and everything's great and look at all the stuff we've got, look how much we can do, look, and we get all this here and we forget our purpose and we have no passion and we have no desire, somebody walks in the back door and they walk in, you know, they've been drinking a little too much. Oh, but get them out of here. Get them out. They're dirty. They're nasty. Get them out of here. Apathy. Well, they're not quite, you know, You got to be just right to come in the doors and sit in church here. No. Just right is someone in need. Is this for the house? That's for God's people. I understand. We need the preaching. It's for us. But it's also a hospital for those that are hurting and in need. We need to be willing to not forget why God left us here. If we're so apathetic that we can take it or leave it, eventually God will say, okay, I'll go ahead and leave it as well. You can have it. And if God ever stops working, we're done. Close the doors. Let's go home. Let's literally do nothing because if God's not in it, it's not worth it. But the Lord will be with us. The Lord will work. And the Lord will work through us if we will fight this giant of apathy. Don't let him take hold. We need to be hungry every single day. Need to be hungry for everything the Lord has for us as individuals, as families, as a church. We need to be hungry on behalf of this community because some of them don't even know what they need. We know what they need. We need to be hungry that God give us so we can share out. Channels, channels of blessings. Sometimes just a blessing of the truth. I got to stop. Let's pray. And we'll pick up again, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Pick up again on this giant and start attacking him some more. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we know.